Kia ora and welcome to Goodfellow Podcasts. This episode is kindly supported by the Royal New Zealand College of General Practitioners, the Auckland faculty. I'm Dr. Louise Kugler, and today I welcome to the podcast Dr. Juliet Soper to discuss child abuse, talking about child abuse, how to have these difficult discussions. Juliet undertook her medical studies at the University of Auckland before completing her paediatric training via the Northern Clinical Training Network. For the last 10 years, she has been in Saskatchewan in Canada, where she was the lead paediatrician for child protection and involved in regional and national service development, interagency collaboration, and training in the area of child protection. Juliet is currently working as a member of the Te Pururuhau multidisciplinary team as a consultant paediatrician and the service clinical director in Auckland. Kia ora, Juliet, and welcome back to the podcast.
Kia ora, Louise.
So today we are talking about having difficult conversations about possible child abuse. We're going to start with a case, which is a two-month-old infant who has presented to our primary care clinic with his grandma. He has a torn upper labial frenulum. He has poorly demarcated bruising on his abdomen, and grandma has no idea how either injury happened. You're worried about child maltreatment. Juliet, talking to families about this sensitive topic can be difficult. How would you approach this conversation with grandma?
My advice on how to tell grandma you are concerned about possible child maltreatment is to approach it like any other diagnostic discussion, making sure that I'm objective, honest, transparent, and open. So in this case, I would first state the findings. For example, I might say something like, I noticed that Johnny has some injuries, a torn piece of tissue in his mouth, and a bruise on his abdomen. One of the possible explanations for these injuries is that someone is hurting Johnny. Are you worried that anyone could be hurting Johnny? At that point, I would pause to listen to Grandma's response. She may be surprised at your suggestion that someone's hurting her grandchild. However, she's equally likely to be relieved that you have asked. She may have been worried about that possibility, but not knowing how to bring it up. After listening to Grandma's response, I might say something along the lines of, I hear that you are or are not worried that someone is hurting Johnny. As that is a possibility, I am going to ask Oranga Tamariki and a specialised team of paediatricians and nurses at Starship or your local hospital to see Johnny so that we can work out how he sustained these injuries. It is as important to me as I am sure it is to you that Johnny is safe and not being hurt by anyone. I would then offer to make the referral phone calls and or complete an email to Oranga Tamariki with Grandma present so that she understands what this organisation, Oranga Tamariki, are being told. I would also give very clear instructions on what she should do next when she leaves my general practice. I would say the paediatrician is expecting you in the emergency department. They will want to meet with you and Johnny's parents to talk about how these injuries may have occurred. They may also want to do a CT scan and some x-rays to make sure there are no other injuries that are not as easily seen without testing. Can you go directly to the emergency department now? So I know that's a little bit scripted, but those are the sorts of words I use and the sort of conversation I have with a family when telling them of my concern.
Thanks, Juliet. Do we also need to inform the parents of our concerns?
This child has attended the appointment with Grandma, so it is with Grandma that you are communicating initially. I would offer to phone the parents, perhaps with Grandma present, and to let them know of the concerns. Grandma may be grateful for that because it's going to be a difficult conversation for her to have as well. I would suggest that the parents attend the emergency department and let them know that the paediatrician would like to speak directly with them and will be able to explain the need for further testing. I would not delay the report of concern to Oranga Tamariki to locate the parents or to speak to them if I have spoken with Grandma who's brought the child in to see me.
Juliet, one of the things that we often worry about is the breakdown in our therapeutic relationship with the family when we raise the possibility of child abuse. So how can we have these conversations and come out of them with the relationships intact?
Yes, this is very important. We want to maintain a relationship with whānau that makes it easy for them to return for care in the future if they have worries about their tamaiti, their tamariki. There are three key points, I think, to maintaining that relationship. First is trust. By being open and honest, we maintain trust even when the topics we're discussing is challenging. Secondly, uncertainty is challenging for any relationship, and there are steps we can take to mitigate the uncertainty for the family. These steps include telling them what may happen or what may not happen, and by giving them clear signals that you want to remain their family practitioner. In the emergency room, they'll meet with a paediatrician, may have some blood tests and x-rays, depending on the child's age and injuries. You can convey this information to the family. It is okay to tell whānau that the information you provide to Oranga Tamariki will guide how Oranga Tamariki respond. It's okay to tell the whānau that Oranga Tamariki may initiate an assessment so that they understand the family's circumstances and context. This assessment may include a visit to the whānau home. But you must remember that it's actually Oranga Tamariki's responsibility to determine what their response will be to your report of concern. And so you shouldn't make specific statements about what will or will not occur. You can use words like may or perhaps. In this way, you avoid family being disappointed or frustrated if something has happened in a different way. You can also let them know that they can ask questions and they can request cultural support at any time in the process, or an interpreter if they need one. Perhaps you can also schedule a follow-up appointment, whether for the next vaccination that's due or just to check in, as this will signal that you are going to continue to provide care for this family in future. Third and finally, I think it's helpful to remind yourself that often only one or perhaps two people in the household know what's causing this child's injuries. Other members of the household may not know what has happened, including, in all possibility, the caregiver who has brought them to you for medical care. Don't be judgmental. It's not our job as healthcare providers to speculate on who or how a child was injured. It is our job to ensure the child receives appropriate healthcare and that the possibility that the child is in need of care and protection is reported to the Statutory Child Protection Agency.
Thank you, Juliet. You've covered some really important points there. We know that we have an obligation to report to child protection agencies in New Zealand. This is Oranga Tamariki. But what advice can you give us when we make these notifications?
So I'll start my answer to this question with a quote that I use often, actually, and it's from Albert Einstein. Those who have the privilege to know have the duty to act. So it's important to remember you don't need to be 100% certain that a child is experiencing child maltreatment to make a report of concern. You just need to have reasonable concern that they may be at risk. Most child protection services, such as Te Pūrūho, where I work, find that approximately one-third of the time when a child is referred to us, the cause of the injuries are not child maltreatment. It is often accidental, despite there being good reason to have notified Oranga Tamariki. This is okay. The consequences of missing a child who is being maltreated and leaving that child in danger are too great not to act. However, this should act as a caution to ensure that you remain objective and non-judgmental in all communication with both family and with Oranga Tamariki. From a practical point of view, because we're all busy in healthcare, although Oranga Tamariki do not have an electronic report of concern, you can actually email your report of concern to contact@ot.govt.nz. And I make this recommendation because, unfortunately, when you phone the contact line 0508 family, It's often very busy and you can find yourself on hold for an extended period, which is difficult in a busy clinic. My experience has been that the email is monitored very closely and you will often get a phone call back from a social worker while you're still on hold with the 0508 family number. Make sure if you are going to email a report of concern that you include your phone number so that that social worker can make contact with you for more information. However, you should include as much information as you have in the report of concern. Be specific and descriptive about the injuries without using medical jargon. Wherever possible, offer information about the services that are involved with the whānau, as this will help Oranga Tamariki to respond without overwhelming the family with duplicate resources.
Juliet, what sorts of things do we need to tell them? You've said not to use medical jargon, but what is it that we need to actually say in that initial referral?
Think of the report of concern as an opportunity to express your worry or to make a statement about your worry. That statement will guide Oranga Tamariki in its response. It's important to include observations to support your statement of worry. So practically when doing this, I use the ICE mnemonic. I stands for identification, C stands for concern or context, and E stands for the effect on the child. So identification is the child's demographics, their caregivers' names, their siblings and their siblings' dates of birth, if you know those. Don't forget that the other children in the home may also be at risk. When talking about concern and context, this is the statement of worry and observations. For example, in the case that we're using to provide context for this discussion, we might say, Johnny is a two-month-old child who presented to my clinic today with his grandmother. When I was examining him, I found that he had a torn upper lip, frenulum, and bruising on his abdomen. As Johnny is developmentally unable to cause these injuries to himself, I am worried that someone may have hurt Johnny. If you have objective information related to the context, for example, factors that may contribute to Johnny not being in an unsafe environment, such as parental drug use, or resilient factors, such as that Johnny's always attended his well-child visits on time, you can mention these also. However, be careful not to speculate on what the context is. I'm always amazed how little we know about a family's social complexity when we as health professionals can only view their world through the brief window of our consultation. Oranga Tamariki often have a lot more information about context. The E stands for effect. An effect allows you to state, as a physician, what we know about children who present with relatively minor injuries, similar to those you're seeing in Johnny. We know that sometimes these children who present with sentinel injuries go on through an escalating pattern of maltreatment to later present with life-altering or life-threatening injuries. And so it's important to say that you're worried about the effect that Johnny's injuries may have on him in the future.
Juliet, families often want to know what's going to happen next. What should we be telling them?
I think we should tell families everything. Don't keep secrets from your patients. Let them know what your worries are. Parents are the child's legal guardian and they must be informed. Be open, honest and transparent and thorough. Expect that parents will see your documentation, including the referral note to the paediatrician, the report of concern to Oranga Tamariki, and your clinical progress notes at some point in the future. When they do see these, they should already be aware of everything in your chart because you have been so honest and open with them. Do not speculate on who done it or on factors that may have contributed to the child's injuries. This is not your role as a healthcare provider and you don't need to be documenting that in the chart and you don't need to be talking to the families about that. If they ask you, you can indicate that Oranga Tamariki or potentially the police can help them consider those questions.
So following up with families seems to be important and important from continuing the therapeutic relationship. So how do you suggest we follow up with the family?
Look, primary care is the most important healthcare relationship for the vast majority of children in our community. And I recommend that you proactively engage these families in well child visits and age-appropriate anticipatory guidance. In an ideal world, you would be involved in the discharge or multidisciplinary planning meetings. However, these are often held at critical times for busy practices. You should receive a copy of the paediatric consultation note or the medical child protection report, which will provide you with any information you need about the injuries, the planned specialty follow-up, and key oranga tamariki contacts.
And thinking about that follow-up, are there any other supports we should be offering the families?
I would ask that you focus on providing good quality primary care. Sometimes in the milieu that is specialty practice, we paediatricians forget that these children also need their routine vaccinations. They need their before school checks, their routine developmental screening. And as primary care providers, you can arrange for those routine well child visits and engage in those typical discussions you have with any child's family at the age of this child. You can be an ear to listen to the family, and you can support the family immensely by saying, "I don't know, but I'll find out if a question is medical care related," or "I don't know, but you can ask oranga tamariki or a social worker if a question relates to the care and protection issues." Don't feel you always need an answer. Sometimes the most honest answer is "I don't know," but remember you're part of a larger team, and either the oranga tamariki social worker or the child protection paediatrician will be there to help you if you do have questions.
Yeah, those are really valuable points. Sometimes we do feel like we're in a silo, so that's great to remember that we are part of that bigger team and there is a support network. So Juliet, we're coming to the end of this podcast, but your take-home messages for our listeners, please.
So my first take-home message is to be honest, transparent and objective in your discussion with parents about the possibility of child maltreatment. That means stating that it's one of the possible causes of the injuries you are seeing. Remember that you do not need to be certain a child is in need of care and protection to make that referral to oranga tamariki. You just need to have reasonable concern. I hope you'll find the ICE mnemonic, that is identification, concern and context, and effect, useful when communicating your worry to oranga tamariki. And finally, remember you can always phone a friend. The Te Puarurua duty phone is answered during regular work hours, or the on-call Te Puarurua paediatrician is available via your local hospital switchboard after hours. Our duty phone number is 021-492-365.
Thank you, Juliet. If you're a New Zealand GP and would like to claim CPD points, please log them. You'll find a list of resources on our website, goodfellowunit.org. Thank you for listening.